standing here watching a lot of people working very hard on the challenging worksheets we've given you this morning. Especially the crowns one, I think, is a bit tricky. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed and are enjoying doing that. Welcome to you all today. It's not a very nice day outside, but it's lovely and warm in here. And so you are all very welcome to the first in our new series of Altogether Worship Services for 2026. I've got a couple of notices. Next week we will be at Bethesda with our friends there, and the week after we've got a fellowship service here, and Lorraine has kindly offered to take that one. The latest edition of the good newspapers in the foyer as well, in the foyer, listen to me, cinema, the vestibule, as well as the new UCB notes on their new stand. I hope you've noticed that as you walked in. You couldn't really miss it. What you didn't see was Jean and I trying to assemble it last week. I actually emailed UCB in the week and said we should have taken a video of it because it was hilarious. Anyhow, she emailed back and said, would I take a photograph of the stand and send it to them for their website? So I said, yes, I would. So the good newspapers are here, as I said, and there's an interesting article about our Guernsey Men Mat Letitia on the back, for those who haven't read it yet. We have one birthday, as far as I know, and that is Ali, who's got her birthday on, is it Wednesday? On Wednesday this week, so we sing happy birthday to Ali.
Happy birthday!
And we hope you have a lovely day, Ali. As I said before, today is the first Altogether Worship of 2026, and our theme for this year is kings and queens of the Bible. And we're going to introduce to you now the theme song for the year, which is called Jesus is the King of Kings, for you to just watch, and then later on you can join in with the chorus, I'm sure.
Israel's first king, but he forgot the Lord of everything. David sang with his harp and sheep. He danced for God with joyful feet.
Hear the story, some brought shame and some brought glory, but every crown and
good catchy song, we thought. So now we have our opening prayers. This weekend I went to the prayer summit at Freedom Church, and one of the speakers was Ian Christensen, who is a very powerful speaker, and he spoke about personal prayer and increasing your prayer life. And one of his strapline was, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And he kept saying it, and we had to keep repeating it. So if you'd like to say it with me, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. So let us pray. Lord, you are an amazing God, and we have come to worship you today and tell you how much we love you. We know that we don't always listen to you. We go our own way and make mistakes. We hurt other people, and we hurt you as well. Please forgive us. Help us to listen to what you have to say to us today. And help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be. Loving God, we are so thankful for everything that you give us, for families and friends, for food and clothes. Thank you, God, for your beautiful world, for the beach and the sea. Thank you, God, for holidays and time to relax, for interests and hobbies. Thank you, God, for your church, where we can learn more about you, for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Lord and Saviour and our friend. Thank you, God. Amen. And we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd now like to receive the offertory, please. Father, we thank you for these gifts of money. And we thank you for the money given online. And we thank you for all the gifts that you give us so freely. Help us to use them wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we're going to sing Strength Will Rise. It will be on the screen. It's a bit tricky to play, ladies. Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord. And she's here, which is good. Yes, so we planned the service together last week, and if I tell you that we met at Katie's with a blank page, which we did, didn't we? But yes, anyway, it all came together. The Lord gave us some good ideas. So now we're going to be asked two questions. The first one is, what are the qualities, and it's on the screen, what are the qualities would you look for in a king or queen? So I'd like you to call out them out, and I'll attempt to write them down. Okay. Qualities for in a king or queen.
Honesty. Okay, right, so we've got a lot there. So, all these qualities are what we would love to have in a king or a queen. They need to be honest, humble, just, set a right example, be loyal, have dignity, be understanding, have a sense of duty, be a good communicator, be faithful and courageous, putting other people first, be a leader, a wise leader, a good listener, and to be committed to their role. Wow. No pressure, no. And of course, in our kings now and queens, it's inherited, isn't it? We don't vote for them, so just have to hope. As Heather said, I think our late queen had a lot of these qualities, didn't she? Now, the next question, I'm not going to write down the answers to this, because you can discuss it for 2 minutes. If you were king or queen for a day, what would you do? Okay, got 2 minutes.
Oh, speak, O Lord, indeed. What a beautiful song that is. And you certainly did speak to someone on our video that we're going to look at now. And I was going to ask the young people, we haven't got any this morning, but we are all young people. We are all young people, yes. I still say when I get old. And we're going to look at the video, and there is someone here that he certainly spoke to. Thank you, Ellie. The video link first?
Yeah. Chapter 26, The Rise and Fall of King Saul. 1 Samuel 8 to 15. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. When Samuel was old, he made his two sons judges over Israel. They were bad judges, taking bribes and treating people unfairly. So the people of Israel asked Samuel to give them a king. "You're old," they said, "and your sons are dirty, rotten scoundrels. We want a king like all the other nations." Samuel warned them that a king was a bad idea. A king would take their fields and their flocks, their children and their livestock. Israel didn't care. They wanted someone to lead their armies. They wanted a god they could see. They wanted to be like everyone else. So God gave them a king, and he looked the part. Saul was very handsome and a head taller than all the other men. For a time, things went well for Saul. He defeated Israel's enemies and brought the kingdom together. The men of Israel rejoiced greatly that Saul was their king. But the good times didn't last. Once, when Samuel was delayed from coming, Saul disobeyed the Lord and offered sacrifices he wasn't supposed to offer. Saul was trying to please the people, but he ended up displeasing God. God wanted a man after his own heart, not a king who tried to please the hearts of men. Another time, Saul held back some of the spoils of war and kept for himself what he should have destroyed. Once again, Saul had feared the people instead of fearing God. He obeyed the voice of the crowd instead of obeying the voice of God. Even when Saul said he was sorry for his mistake, he was still concerned that God honor him before the people. Saul may have looked strong on the outside, but he was puny on the inside. He was not a man after God's own heart, but a king who chased the hearts of his people. This was not the king Israel needed, and not the king God wanted. The Lord would have to find another king for his people. If we are going to live the right way and believe the right things, we cannot think that people are big and God is small. We must decide in our hearts that pleasing God is always more important than going along with the crowd.
Quite a powerful little message in that short clip. But it started on by saying, be careful what you wish for. It's a saying we've often said, isn't it? I'm sure all of us, when we can see something just isn't going to go right, and we say, oh, be careful what you wish for. It could end up in tears. If we've said it, we're in good company, as you can see, because Samuel said it too. He knew it. He'd been a really good judge of Israel. He'd been faithful to God, to the nation, and he was what they called a seer, so they all looked to him. But when he passed his role as judge onto his two sons, as we heard, they didn't rule with the same God-like passion as Samuel did. And they became very dishonest and deceitful, and the people didn't go for that at all. What they wanted, they said, is a king. We want a king. The shout went out all over, we want a king. We want a king. But this saddened Samuel's heart, because he would have liked his two sons to rule. And I'm sure he will have prayed for them. Just as indeed as many of us pray for our children when they turn away from God or perhaps have never known him in their lives. And I'm sure you will have prayed earnestly, but for Samuel's sons, it wasn't to be. The prayer wasn't to be answered, if indeed he had prayed for them, which I'm sure he had. And so God said, give them what they want. If that's what they want, give them the king. But the king they are asking for is one that is going to lead by taking them into battle to win lands around them about greed. This is what they wanted. They wanted more. They wanted the lands around them. A little bit indicative of what's happening today, isn't it? We want more. We want more. We want your lands. We want your nations. We want... I think there are some people who think they are king. I leave it there. But what they hadn't taken into account is what this king would do to their nation if they appointed a king in that vein. Samuel knew. He knew in his heart. He knew this was wrong. And so, once again he prayed, speak, O Lord. I'm sure he must have said something like that, wasn't he? Speak, O Lord. Tell me what to do. Give it to them. Give it to him. Give it to them. Give them the warning in no uncertain terms. And I will allow you to meet with someone, and you will know when it is the person who is king. Well, they did indeed meet. And Saul actually was quite a humble farmer's boy, really. He looked after his father's donkeys. This role took him a long way because these donkeys rolled free. So they would go over borders. They didn't mind which nation they lived in. He knew the countryside really well. But did he know anything about living alongside people? It would be the difference about plonking me in the middle of town when I've always lived in the country. And yet this is who God said is going to be the king. It seemed a slightly unlikely choice, yet he was a very tall, strong, we're told he was a fine-looking man. So he had the qualities they were looking for. If you looked at just face deep, he was tall, he was strong after looking after all the donkeys, and he rose to it. I'm sure he did. Can you imagine his coronation? He would have been well pleased, wouldn't he? And at first, it went really well. He did win battles. It did work. But gradually, of course, it all fell apart because he was listening to the heart of the people, not to the heart of God. So they had the king they wanted. We want a king. But they didn't have a godly ruler. Just as Samuel predicted, this had gone wrong. And the reason I think this isn't in the Bible, this is a reason I think it will have gone wrong, was the "we want a king." Not what do you want, O Lord? We want a king. It's easy to do, isn't it? We want. I guess even as a church, sometimes we do it. We have a vision, we want. And sometimes we put that vision to God and say, please help us to get there. But stop to think, sometimes is that God's vision? Or is that our vision? Is that what we want? I'm not picking on this church when I say that. I'm talking about all churches, circuit and beyond. We want. And what about when we change that we want to I want? That can creep into our prayers too, into our daily prayers. We don't necessarily realize it. We don't do it on purpose. But sometimes we forget, if it is your will, O Lord. And it may well be God's will. But what if it isn't, and it doesn't go the way we'd hoped? Have we got the right qualities, the right attitude to accept it when God's will doesn't match up to our will? We were looking at these qualities earlier, qualities if we were a king or queen, and you may or may not agree with me, and that doesn't matter at all. I think our present king has many of these qualities, not all. I totally agree. His mother, wow, didn't she have qualities? But if we look forward to our, hopefully, praise the Lord, new king in the future, I think he would have a lot of these qualities too. They have many of these qualities. But it's not to them as Christians that we pray. We pray for them, but we don't pray to them, which is what the people were doing with Saul. They were looking to him as the king. But we don't need to do that. Thank you, Ellie. Because we've got a king. A higher king, the King of Kings, Jesus, God's Son, who was born to rule all the nations of the world. Yet, he remained humble. He didn't wear a golden crown, bejeweled and shiny. He wore a crown of thorns. He took our sins upon himself so that we may have forgiveness when, as we were praying earlier, we get things wrong. And when we lack the qualities that we should live by. Thank you, Ellie. And those qualities Paul tells us all about in his letter to the Galatians. And they are, I'm sure many of you could say these, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ooh, thank you. And just as I heard somebody say, could our king or queen ever have all of these? All of these? Probably not all of those qualities. But we are called on, as Christians, to have all of these qualities. It's not a pick and mix. It is one fruit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is one fruit. And these are all the qualities we should have. Do you find that easy? Is there anything harder than the other for you? Yes. Which one?
Patience.
Patience. It often comes up, that one. Anybody got anything else there that really they struggle with?
Self-control.
Self-control, that's another one, isn't it? I think those are the two that always come up when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, patience and self-control. But these are the qualities that God has put on a board today, but in the Bible you will find them. In Galatians 5. Just as we put on the board, these are the qualities, but where that was said, we can't perhaps attain all those. These are the ones that we need to be praying for, that we as people can really acquire. Because we don't want to say, we want a king. We want to go out there and say, we have a king, and he lives. When we live in him, he lives in us by the power of his Holy Spirit and gives us these qualities. And we pray that we may go out into the streets, into our workplaces, into all the groups that we meet with, into everything we do. Every person we meet and every place we go, that we may hail him as our King of Kings. And although it's got four sharps, that's exactly what we're going to sing now. Oh, it's three sharps. There you go, you're lucky. It could have been four.
Dear Lord, we pray for areas of your world that are experiencing great darkness now, where there is war, unrest, confusion, or persecution. Shine your light particularly upon Ukraine, Iran, Venezuela, Greenland. Light the way forward for a safer, fairer, peaceful world. Father, we lift those areas of our local community struggling in darkness now. We pray for situations where there is unemployment, trauma, abusive relationships, depression, loneliness, and grief. Show us how we can bring your light into one of these places this week, as individuals or as a church congregation. Give us eyes to see where you are working and courage to follow. Lord, we thank you for calling each one of us to be your disciples. Open our eyes to see how we can serve you in the places you have put us. Our workplaces, our schools, our homes and families. Thank you that you know our strengths and weaknesses and still have a role for each one of us. Let us remember, Lord, that as the song says, you are a waymaker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, and a light in the darkness. We stand on your promises, Lord. Amen. And now, a bit of exercise for you now. Do you ever remember doing Trust in the Lord with all your heart? Well, we haven't done it for a while, have we? So we're going to do it now. You need to get into twos. And Karen, could I have you to demonstrate? Because you're being blinded by the light.
Yes,
please,
to get out of the light.
So, if you remember, you face each other, and you go with your right hand, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Then it again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. This is what it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Don't rely on what you've got. Learn to rely on the Lord. Okay. If you're ready.
Do you have a video up. Version, Diane, do you?
Sorry?
Video version.
Yeah, I don't know. You want to do it?
It was meant to be, yeah. Yeah.
It's that the... That's a song though. Is that part?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so, oh, don't sit down, because we're going to share in the messy grace.